amen, to preach the Word of God. He's no stranger to us. He's preached the last 2 years of Cornerstone Family Camp, and he's done such a wonderful job and blessed us so much. My parents used to take me to hear Brother Townley when I was just a little boy, and he's blessed me for many, many years, and so it's just an honor and a delight to have him here with us at Cornerstone Family Camp. And I wonder how many is going to help the preacher preach today. Brother Townley, come bless us today. We're glad to have you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. How many is really glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? I want to say it is truly a joy to be here again this year, and it is a week that I've been looking forward to for quite some time. Not just me, but my whole family has been looking forward to being here. We are always so warmly accepted and enjoy being with not just the good people of God, but people who are very close friends. And so it's good to be with you this morning. I'm looking forward to all that the Lord is going to do. And the Lord already did a great, great work last night, didn't He? I was so blessed by the preaching of the Word of the Lord, as I always say in different ways. But I always appreciate how Brother Jason Calhoun is such a skilled preparer, presenter of the Word of the Lord. I mean, I appreciate the way he prepares, the way he presents, and so passionately preaches the gospel in sincerity and in truth. And I'm glad to call him my friend today. I love him and appreciate him very much. And we are going to be blessed in the night services every night. And just to be here with all of my ministering friends, God bless you. And pastors and pastors' wives, we love you. Appreciate you very much. If you want to turn with me, you can. We'll get to the Word of the Lord here shortly. I want to give honor to Bishop and Mom Johnson today. God bless you. We love and appreciate you very much. And Brother and Sister Weeks and Brother and Sister Johnson, and just all of the pastors that are here, Brother and Sister Blankenship, Brother and Sister Campbell, and Brother and Sister James. And it's good to see Brother Ted Hamby playing the keyboards. Good to be here with him and his wife. And, nice to meet Brother Shelton and Sister Shelton. And Brother and Sister Wood, it's good to be with you this year. You know, it's just great to have all of these ministers and their wives here. What a blessing and a strength it is. I began to think about all the men that are here. I met Brother and Sister Ayers last night, yesterday afternoon, and saw Brother Benton again. It's a blessing to have all of these ministers and their wives here with us. And am I going to forget Brother and Sister Thrasher? Do I need to leave them out? But, we love them and appreciate them very much. And I do come with a burden on my heart today that I pray that I'm able to deliver effectively. Let's look at the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. It's good to have my great-great-great-grandmother here with us. No, I joke with my Aunt Rob, I call her grandmother. And I appreciate her being here, and she has three of her grandchildren. Are they great-great-great-grandchild? I don't remember. But anyway, she's got three of her grandchildren with her, and what a wonderful lady she is. We love and appreciate you all very much. I consider it an honor to be here. And I'm looking forward to all that the Lord's going to do. And I will do my best to not keep you longer than necessary. And but I do appreciate you giving me plenty of time. But I will do my best not to take more than necessary. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, begin reading at verse 9. The Bible says, "Rejoice, O young man, in the days are in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all of these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now, everybody say, remember now. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I want to preach from this text of Scripture. Some of you may remember this was the Friday text of last year. We're not going to do Righteous YOLO Part 2, although I wished I could. The Bible challenges us here to enjoy our youth and follow our passions, our dreams, and desires. And it says, but when you're following what's in your heart and you're pursuing everything that you want to do, just remember that for everything you do, you will be brought into judgment. So we don't ever need to forget eternity. And if we're going to face the Lord in judgment, then we know that we need to have a good and clean heart. And if we're going to have a good life, we're going to have to learn how to remove sorrow from our heart and put away evil from our flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity, it can be just a waste of life. You could be 25 or 30 or 40 and look back and say, I wasted so many years. We don't have to do that. We can remember now our Creator in the days of our youth. And so, by the grace of the Lord today, I want to preach a simple message entitled, Navigating Early. Navigating early. Let's pray the Lord's blessings upon His Word. God, You're awesome. You're glorious. You're powerful. You're marvelous. I want to thank You right now for Your anointing. I thank You for the power of Your Spirit. I thank You for the truthfulness of Your Word. Hallelujah. I love You, God. Do what You want to do in this house. Do what You want to do in this house. Do what You want to do in our hearts. Do what You want to do in our spirits, Lord. We are Your people and the sheep of Your pasture, Lord. Feed us. Feed us with Your Word today. Strengthen our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. You know, as I was in the service last night, as it came to a close, there was two words that kept coming to my mind. Just simply, life change. Life change. And young people, I really believe in my heart that God desires this week to be for you a sort of spiritual cocoon. Adults, I believe the Lord wants these next few days to be a secret place that we enter, a retreat that we come to, that He is able to do a true life transformation. How many would like to be able to leave this camp and be able to do God's will and God's purpose as never before? Fly into the will of God. I want You to change my heart, change my life, change my spirit in this camp. Let me just begin like this today. Some time ago, Mariah and I were in a big Barnes & Noble bookstore, and we were browsing through their very, very large children's section. And while we were walking through, we passed through the portion of the books that were on the shelves for young readers, and not just children's books, but for young readers. And we stopped there for a moment and started looking at different titles and considering if there was any books in that area that she may want to read. And so I wanted to help her try to choose some books that would be good and informative and be actually a blessing and proper for her. And so as we perused through one section, I noticed that there was a book that caught my attention, and the title of it was Navigating Early. I noticed on the cover of that book, basically it was one little boat, and there was two boys in the boat, and they were paddling down a river, And they were at sunrise. It was at sunrise. And they were going down the river. And they were both paddling. And they were navigating early in the morning. And so I thought, man, that'd be a good title to preach at a youth camp. And I didn't pick the book up that day, and I just had something stirring in my heart and my spirit. But like I do sometimes, I left the book on the shelf, and I thought, well, if I decide to read it, I'll read it. I got the title, and I think that's enough. But I did finally download the book. Since it stayed with me, and this became a message that I felt like God was going to have me preach this summer, I went ahead and downloaded the book and started reading it. I am almost through with it. I've got about 80 pages left. And so I'm sorry, I can't tell you the end of the story, but I can give you the essence of the book. And it goes like this. At the end of World War II, Jack Baker, a young boy who was raised in Kansas, what they would call landlocked Kansas, he was suddenly uprooted by his mother's death. He lived with his mother. She was a single parent. She passed away. He was placed in a boarding school for boys in Maine. And Jack, being uprooted from Kansas and sent to Maine, he feels lost because he now is in a new home, and he's at a new school, and he's living with new people. Anybody hear my text message go off? I'm sorry. He has a new home and a new school, and he's now living around new people, and he's got new teachers, and he's making new friends. I mean, his world is just kind of turning on him. And while he's there meeting all of the new boys and the new girls that are in the community, there's one boy that goes to his boys' school, and his name is Early Auden. And he develops a relationship with Early. Early is kind of an odd boy. He's different. He doesn't run with the normal crowd. And so somehow, with Jack feeling lost and disconnected, trying to connect in a new community, and Early is kind of like that, even though he had been there for a while. He was distant from everybody. These two were drawn together. And they begin to develop a relationship and a friendship. And there was a particular day when everybody was leaving the school. It was a special weekend, and all of the boys were leaving and going with their parents somewhere, and all of the teachers were leaving. And Jack was left alone, and Early was left there. And so these two guys got together, and they decided to embark on a quest on the Appalachian Trail to search out a great bear. This is a deep story, I'm telling you. It takes a long time to read it. And but while they were on that quest and that journey, searching for a great bear, they found things much different than what they were searching for. What they were searching for, they didn't necessarily find. What they found was something very, very different than what they were looking for. Along the way, they met some very, very strange people. Anybody ever done that? Met some very strange people. And while they were on their journey along the trail, they discovered a lot about themselves. And they discovered a lot about one another. For the two of them, that quest on the Appalachian Trail to find the great bear became a journey of self-discovery, where they learned a lot about themselves, and they learned a lot about their friend that they had been spending time together with. As one person wrote it like this, young people, a journey of self-discovery is a journey of many miles. It's a journey of many miles. And then a journey of understanding others can be even longer. And I wonder sometimes if we'll ever figure some people out. I just wonder. That's not negative. I meant to be humorous. I'm starting kind of slow here today. But finally, in reality, we've talked about a journey of self-discovery. We've talked just a moment here about understanding others. I'm going to tell you the greatest journey of all The greatest journey of all is getting to know the Lord. There's nothing like walking with God. You know, I think about a journey of self-discovery. The Bible tells us that we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. It is amazing what God created when He made man. And our humanity and our makeup is very, very complex. We are very diverse creatures. We are very unique individuals. And, you know, it is amazing when we begin to consider our nature. We are body, soul, and spirit. We are both physical and spiritual creatures. I mean, we are studied individuals. There's psychology, and then there's doctors, and they approach humanity from various directions. There's the medical field that's searching the makeup of our physical body, and then the psychologists are trying to understand our thought patterns and what makes us tick and why do we think like we think and why do we act like we act. And we're very, very complex creatures. You know, you think about our makeup. We have our heart, which is our seat of emotions. We have our mind, which is the seat of our thoughts. And then we have our soul, which is the seat of our will. The soul is that eternal part of us that will live on forever and ever in eternity. It's the very center of our being. It's the seat of our will, as I stated. It's who we are. It's how we really feel. Sometimes our body actions may not really reveal what we feel inside, but our soul is the seat of our will, and it's really where we feel what we feel the deepest. And it's what we really think, and it's who that we really are. Can I tell you, our complexity can become very complicated at times. As a matter of fact, when the Bible talks about the power of the Word of God, it says that the Word of the Lord is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And it has the ability to draw and cut that fine line between the soul and the spirit. It's not easy to communicate the difference between a person's soul and a person's spirit. But the Word of God has the ability. God, who created us, spoke and had holy men write in such a way that you and I can begin to understand who we are and what we are made of and the complexity of our creation by God. You know, we think about our spirit. Our spirit is that knowing part of us. Our spirit is the part of us by which we recognize the presence of God. Somebody will say, "The Lord is in this place." And you will say, "Yes, He is in this place." You don't see Him, but your spirit recognizes the Spirit of the Lord. It's that knowing part of you. It's that living part of you. You know God. And then there is a part of your spirit that's more than just an identifier or a recognizer. There's a part of your spirit that is a reflection. I say it like this. Your spirit is a reflection or a mirror of your heart. Whatever the condition of your heart is going to be reflected out of your spirit. Your spirit is a receptor and your spirit is a projector. All of us are receiving from the spirit world and all of us are reflecting the condition of our heart, the thoughts of our heart through our spirit. And you may say, "Well, I've got to be careful because I don't want everything in my heart to get out. So I'm gonna try to hide what's in my heart." If you start trying to hide what's in your heart and keep it from coming out of your spirit is going to be manifested as a deceptive, conniving, hiding spirit.
And so there's diversity even in your spirit. It's a receptor and it's a projector. And then we think about this body, and then we think about the soul, and we try to say, what rules what? What controls what? How can I deal with my humanity, and how can I become the best that I should be? And we begin to realize that our spiritual environment matters. Where we spend time at spiritually matters. Because our spirit, amen, affects our soul. And our soul, the seat of our will, who we really are, controls and determines how we act out in the flesh. The spirit affects and controls the soul, and the soul rules the body. What you are in the innermost part of your being determines the actions that you will take and the attitudes that you manifest. What I'm trying to tell you, it's not always easy to communicate, and it's not always easy to convey the complexity of our makeup. It's not easy for us to understand ourselves, is what I'm telling you. And then we can go beyond just trying to understand ourselves, and we can consider the fact that when we were born, we're born in 2014 or 2070, whatever year God allows a person to be born. I'd go all the way back to 1971, and some of you can go back further than that. And we're all born into life. We have no choice of being born. How many got to choose who your mother and dad would be? How many got to choose what year you were? Nobody. We made no choice to come. We just came. It happened. We were born. I'm going to tell you, this world was already moving. There was already a course to this life. There was already a flow to this life. There was already a current to life. And we didn't choose what part of the world that we were born into. We were just born. We were thrust into life. We didn't get a choice of whether we were born righteous or unrighteous. We didn't get a choice of whether we were born with a holy nature or an unholy nature. We were all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We were all born with evil inclinations. As I said before, nobody had to teach us how to lie. Nobody had to teach us how to steal. Nobody had to teach us to get angry. No one had to teach us how to fight. No one had to teach us how to be evil. Nobody had to teach us how to disobey. It was just a part of our nature. What I'm trying to tell you, to life, there is two courses. There is the broad way and there is the narrow road. All of us were born on the broad road. We were born on the broad road, and I'm telling you, it is filled in with many people. It's teeming with the masses, and only God knows what all is on the broad road. Only God knows what all is going on in the lives of humanity. But whatever generation we're born in, some of you were born with Elvis shaking his leg. That's what you remember. And then there's others. I'm remembering Miley Cyrus. And we're all in our flow. And we deal with whatever's happening. Whatever prince of the power of the air is ruling at that time. We're not able to choose when we're born. We're just thrown into life. And I want to tell you, there's a whole lot going on in this world. I looked at it just this morning. You know, there are 4.45 people born every second. This is old news. This is 2010 data. Now, I don't know how you can get 4.45. Either you're born or you're not born. But there's 4.45 people born every second. 1.8 people die every second. Which gives a net increase of 2.7 people every second are added to our world. At the very end, per year, there is 140.4 million people born. 56.7 million die. leaving an increase of 83 million people. I mean, there's all the time more people being cast into this world, thrown into our world. And we're just born. When we start getting to 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10, and we're learning, we're getting familiar with our surroundings and the world that we've been born into, and we start getting an education and we start learning. And boy, you talk about an education. You know, online, Oxford Online Dictionaries adds 1,000 words every year to its dictionary. Presently, there is 1,025,109 words in the English language. So if you spend 70 years living just to learn those, you'd have to learn 40 words a day. Adding 1,000 words today is another more than 2 words. Currently, there's a new word added every 98 minutes. A lot. When I gave you the figure of 1,000 words a year, that was a conservative. That's what makes the dictionary. But they say in reality, every 98 minutes, there's a word that is being formed. That's 14.7 words a day. If you're going to learn it all and stay current, I'm just telling you, it's impossible. We've come to a society and time that you just can't do everything. You can't be a part of everything. You can't learn everything. I remember one time, I believe it was stated of Aristotle. Aristotle was the last man living that was able to know everything about everything. And I still doubt that that was true. But they said he was the last. Because if he didn't know Jesus, but the reality, I think Aristotle was born before Jesus, huh? I didn't check. I better get out of that quick. But he was the last one to believe living that knew everything about everything there was that was understood. And so we've come to a time you can't be a part of everything. You can't know everything. You can't do everything. And life is moving so fast and so hurriedly. And there's so much thrown at you and there's so much to deal with. How are we going to deal with this river of life? That we didn't get a choice of what part of the river we were thrown into. The current and how it was rushing. We didn't have a choice. We were just thrust into life. And I'm going to tell you, it can be challenging learning how to navigate life. Understanding who you are. Understanding what's going on in the world. And let's just add one more thing. Let's talk about spiritual warfare for just a little bit. Beyond just trying to understand who we are and understand the natural things of life, now when we're born, there is that spiritual part of us. And there is the reality of spiritual warfare in which whether you serve God or not, young people, you are going to be involved in spiritual warfare. You are a spiritual creature. And whether you choose to serve the Lord or not, you're still going to be involved in spiritual warfare. You're going to be under the influence of either demonic powers or the righteous presence of God. You're either going to be moved and motivated by the presence of God, or you will be moved and motivated by the powers of hell. You will let God work in your life, or you will let the forces of Satan. There's no way to avoid spiritual warfare. You just got to make a choice, is what I'm going to preach to you today. You got to make a choice. Thankfully, not all of you, but thankfully a lot of you, while you were born on the broad road, you were born close to the narrow path. God gave you to righteous, godly, apostolic parents. And while you may feel the current of the world, amen, there's been a pastor in your life and there's been godly parents in your life. Amen. Where the Lord has allowed you to know that at an early age, that you don't have to get caught up with the currents of life and allow life to destroy you. But God can help you to navigate your way under the narrow path where there's peace and tranquility and righteous purpose and calling in your life. Hallelujah. 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 You're going to be involved in spiritual warfare. It's not always going to be easy. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be hard work. I mean, you were just thrust. A battle that's been going on before there was ever an Adam or an Eve. Satan opposing God, resisting God's will, being filled with iniquity, not satisfied with his place, rebels against God, takes one third of the angels with him. And then God creates man. Man becomes the battlefield. All things were created by God and for God. You were created for God, for the glory of God. You didn't just happen to be born. You're not a mistake. And you're not just a moment of passion. This is adult class. You're not just a moment of passion. I'm telling you, you are born with purpose. If God gave you breath, He gave you purpose. I'm telling you, He's allowed you to be born for His glory. He doesn't want you to be miserable by life, bound by sin, confused on how you should conduct yourself. God wants you to have a life of strength, stability, and courage. He wants to use you for His glory, His praise, and His honor. It's going to be hard work. It's going to be a challenge. You're going to have to make up in your mind that you're going to do the will of God. You're going to have to purpose it in your heart. But I'm telling you, God's grace is sufficient. It doesn't matter the generation we're born in. It doesn't matter what we have to deal with. It doesn't matter what's up against us or whatever we come up against. God will give us grace to be able to successfully live this life and not just save ourselves, but save others. I'm not interested in just surviving the sea of life, but I want God to help me to learn how to navigate it early and use my life for His glory. Hallelujah. 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 Listen, young people, if you want to navigate life, you want to learn how to navigate it early? Learn how to listen. On the first day that Jack was able to row in a race, he had been used to that boy early, who was a skilled rower, rowing with him and teaching him how to do it. But on the first race, in that book, Jack was proud. He had his ego he was worried about. He was worried about what people was going to think. And so he decided, he had permission, but he decided, you know what? Even though this is my first race and I'm not very good and I've been having early coach me along, I'm going to do the race by myself. I'm too concerned about what people think about me. And so I'm just going to get out there and I'm going to ruin all by myself. He got going and he wished he had early with him. Because, man, he got off track. And when it come time for him to curve around that buoy, I mean, he was trying. But then all of a sudden he started hearing voices in his head. And he's like, he could remember early saying, do this, do this, do this, do this, do that. Row this way. Do it like that. And finally he got his boat turned, started making it back to shore. Before it was over, he hit a reef and his boat was filling up literally when he made it to shore. He barely made it back. But I'm trying to tell you, his ego can get in our way. We can worry about what people think. And we can too early get the spirit of rebellion in our hearts saying, I'm going to do it my way, and I'm not going to let my mom tell me what to do. I'm not going to let the pastor tell me what to do. I know what's best for my life. I know what I want to do. And you want to row your own boat? I'm going to tell you, we're going to be more successful if we learn how to listen. I'm going to tell you what. When you get out of the house, you're going to want to tap into mom and dad's wisdom. You better enjoy it as long as you can. And what Jack found out, what he thought was just in his head, Early was really standing out on the shore screaming at him.
Yeah.
Do this! Row like this! Row like that! Do your right arm! I wish I'd have had the words better, but that's the best I can do for you today. I'm going to tell you, we got to learn how to listen. Incline our heart to the words and the instruction of wisdom. God, help me to be inclined to wisdom. Not only do we need to learn to listen, we need to develop wisdom. By listening, we can gain wisdom. A saying goes like this: a wise person will learn from their mistakes. A wiser person will learn from the mistakes of others. Listen when Grandma says, I've been there. I've done that. Don't go that way. Listen when Dad says, son, you don't want the results of the decision that you're fixing to make. That's wisdom. That is wisdom. Learn from the mistakes of others. The Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing. Proverbs 4:7, it's the chiefest thing. It's the most important. Whatever you could get in life, get wisdom. And the best way to get wisdom is, again, through listening, through teaching, through reading the Word of God. There's a wisdom of the Word. There's a wisdom that comes from the wisdom that the Holy Ghost teaches, being Spirit-led. And the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Look at your neighbor and say, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Wisdom is skilled living. It's the ability to make right decisions. It's the ability to know what is right and what is wrong. Wisdom is the ability to discern the right action to take, and it is the ability to do it. How many knows it's not just good enough to know what's right? You got to do what's right. What good is it to not follow through? Wisdom is knowing what's right and doing what's right. And so wisdom results in skilled living. This is what wisdom says. Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Take that word from the Lord and apply it to your life. Amen. That says, God, your word says, if I seek you early, I will find it. I want to get on track early. I want to learn how to navigate early. I want to learn how to deal with life successfully early. I want to get on track early. I don't want to wreck my ship and barely survive and then say I need wisdom. God, I want to learn how to navigate early. I don't have a day to waste. I want to get on track and do your will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Get wisdom early. And for those who did not get it early, those of you who were not born with the privilege of being born close to the narrow path, you've walked the roads of life and you've learned the hard way. Be thankful you learned. Just be thankful that you come to your sound mind. Thank God that you come to truth. I'm just going to say, if you don't get there early in life, get there as quick as you can. And be glad God saved you. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I won't forget the year that Brother Jerry Enzi preached our men's conference. He said a brother brought him a book and said, I saw this book and I thought of you. And it was too soon old, too late smart. I thought of you when I saw this book. I'm going to tell you, just be glad when you do come to know Jesus. Just be glad when you do hear that you can be born again. Just be glad, whatever age it is, that God let you know that there was another river of life that you could travel down. And know that whether you missed it early or not, know that the Bible says if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of the Father, who giveth what? Liberally. You say, God, I need a lot. I've got a long ways to go. He said He'll give it liberally. I'm going to tell you, whatever wisdom you need to deal with, whatever you got to deal with, God said, I got it and you can have it. And I like this part of the Scripture. I can't hardly preach it without touching it. And He said, not only will He give it liberally and upbraideth not. I'm going to tell you, some of you, when you walked up to your mom or your dad or some teachers or some instructors or some mentors in your life, you walked up to them and said, hey, I don't understand how to do this. I don't know what I should do here. I don't know how to handle it. Some of them looked at you and said, are you stupid? Are you dumb? You don't understand what you're doing. And they'll chide you and give you a hard time because you're a human being that don't know everything. God doesn't do that. God said, if you lack, I want you to come to my throne and I'll give it to you liberally and I won't make you feel bad about it. You don't know how to deal with your anger? Yeah. Your anger? Come on. You got anger issues? Who don't? You get frustrated? Who don't? Who doesn't? I mean, that neighbor just ticks you off. Road rage. It's a real deal, brothers and sisters. You've been hurt, you've been done wrong, and you're angry. You know, I found it very comforting when a preacher told me one time, said anger's a part of the recovery process. Because if you've been done wrong and you've been hurt and you don't get angry about it, you're still in denial. But if you see it for what it is, you're not going to appreciate how they're handling you and how they're treating you. You're going to get mad about it. That means you're current. That means you're not suppressing it. That's actually good news. But you can't live in anger. Be ye angry, but don't let it live because it's going to create more trouble for you. Just learn how to deal with it. If you see it, then deal with it and say, God, I don't want to live an angry, raging navigator all of my life. Now, I've been hit, I've been hurt, and it's deep, but I don't want to just go through the rest of my life angry, wounded, and hurt. I want joy. And if I'm going to do that, you got to teach me how to remove sorrow out of my heart. Amen. Let me tell you, life doesn't wait for you to get old to hurt you. Life doesn't wait for you to get old for things to go wrong. Life will hit you young. The devil's out to destroy you young. But I'm telling you, God's committed to helping you at an early age. Amen. To learn how to deal with the issues of your heart that'll try to rob you of God's will and keep you from fulfilling God's purpose. We just got to learn how to remove it out of our heart. Look at your neighbor and say, you got any issues in your heart? You'll be surprised what you find sometimes. You'll be surprised what you find in your heart sometimes. Wild thing. Will you help me with my heart?
I already know the big red thing's back there, okay?
I'm trusting you with my heart. What's in my heart? Let's see. Murders? Adulteries? Fornications? Thefts, false witness, blasphemies. I really have that potential? My God, can it get any worse than that? You think there's any other stuff in my heart? Huh? Help me. Fornication, lasciviousness, idolatry, hatred. Oh, Lord. You can get depressed about yourself. Man, Adam and Eve must have messed up bad. Drunkenness. I'm glad I've been drinking water this morning. I'm on the edge here. Revelings. Strife. Wrath. Man. Whew, I better do some business on my heart because I got a lot of potential of evil. But this anger, man. You better learn how to go to the altar, young people. Better learn how to go to the altar. Better learn how to do heart work. If you're going to navigate early, you better learn early how to go to that altar and say, God, I see something in me that don't need to live. It's real, it's here, it's alive, and I'm not going to let ego keep me on my seat. Because if I let it live, it's going to sink my ship. But I want to learn how to navigate it early. God, I want you to help me, and I'm going to tell you, you got to peel it off in prayer. You got to learn how to peel it off in prayer. God, take every angry way out of me. I'm mad. I'm frustrated. I'm mad at the world. I'm mad at my mama. I'm mad at my brother. I'm mad at my sister. I'm mad at my cousin. I'm mad at my aunt. I'm mad at myself. I'm mad. You better learn how to peel it off in your life. You better learn how to pray it through. You better learn how to say, God, get this anger out of me. Get honest about it. Look at yourself. Don't look at everybody else. Learn how early to look at yourself. Peel it off in prayer. Pray that anger out of your spirit. Pray it out of your heart. But the sad reality is, anger's not the only thing you're going to deal with. You get honest and you get humble. And you start repenting and you start learning how to do heart work. I'm going to tell you, you're going to find some amazing stuff in your life. You're going to say, help me, preacher. Help me, preacher. I know there's something back there. I don't understand exactly what it is. There's something back there. What is it? Jealousy. Does that mean really I get uncomfortable and I resent Sally because she wears nicer dresses than me? You think it, I know you're laughing and it sounds kind of funny. I'm telling you, we got to learn how to navigate early. And what's sad is there's some parents that sow it in their kids' heart and say, well, I don't have the money, so and so. I'm going to tell you, mamas and dads, we don't need to sow it, and we don't need to let it lie in our hearts. Because I'm going to tell you, anger and jealousy living in our heart will turn into bitter bile. It's green. It's ugly. It's contaminating. It defiles others. They can take you to the time, to the place, to the day, the hour, the second. They'll never forget it. You may never forget it, but hear me. You don't have to think about it as much, and God can heal you. You don't have to become bitter. Say, I'm going to become better and bigger through prayer. Oh, God, I got to go to the altar again. Get it out of me. Get it out. I want a joyful journey. I want a good life. Come on. Pray it off. Help me, Pastor. Help me. I'm getting past my anger. I'm getting past my jealousy. I'm getting past my bitterness. Is there more? Do you ever get frustrated with yourself? Do you wonder how deep it goes sometimes? Do you wonder how many days you're going to have to pray? Do you wonder how long it's going to take? How many shirts does Brother Townley have on? Now you know why I'm sweating beads up here. I'm losing weight. God's taking it off of me. Yeah, preachers start praying. I don't take this. It's wondering how far I'm going to go. Do I really find it hard to be with the chosen few? In righteousness and holiness? Let me tell you, don't get frustrated about feeling the carcass. Don't get frustrated about feeling that wind and that emotion and that feeling every once in a while. It's your flesh, you're human. You're going to be aware of the world. But if at any point your heart starts longing for the world, you better go back to the altar. Yeah. And say, on my journey, I'm feeling a little current here. I'm feeling a cross current that's trying to catch me. It may be in my dress. It may be in my speech. It may be in an activity. Maybe there's a new popular song that's wanting to pull me into worldly music. God, help me with my heart. Help me to peel the layers off. It's hard for me to know me. It's hard for me to understand me. what makes me tick and why I am like I am. It's a long journey, brothers and sisters. And let me tell you, when something surfaces in that you see something negative about your nature, about your makeup that is wrong and contrary to the will of God, don't become discouraged. Don't beat up on yourself. Don't close in. Go back to the altar. Because I'm going to tell you, the Lord knows all about you. He knows the deepest part of you. And that's where He's headed. God doesn't love you any less just because you now know you have a problem with pride. You may feel conviction and condemnation and embarrassment and pain and shame, but God doesn't love you any less. He brought it to the surface so He could skim it off. He brought it to the surface through life so He can burn it out. He can touch you and cleanse you and deliver you. Let it bring you back to the altar and say, I want it out, God. I want it out, God. I want it out of my life. I don't want to learn the hard way that pride doesn't need to live. Take it out of me. Take it out of me. I'm trying to help somebody develop a prayer meeting right now. Take it out of me. I see it. God, I got to keep my eyes open if I'm going to navigate early. If I'm going to avoid the pitfalls of life, if the world's not going to get a hold of me, you got to anoint my eyes. You got to enable me to see. You got to give me an honest heart. You're going to have to help me confess and repent and be washed. I got to learn how to be humble and be broken and lay before you and say, mold me, make me, shave me. Praying it out, young people. Keep praying it out. Take it off one layer at a time. I've really learned that a person can be rebellious, Brother Johnson, and not slam doors. I've really learned that a person can be rebellious and not scream at their parents. I've really learned that a young person can be really rebellious and not get in fights at school. There's a real thing as passive rebellion. A rebellion that says, Mom and Dad wants me to, but I'm not. I'm not going to get in their face about it. I'm not going to get in the preacher's face about it, but I'm not. I may not be screaming back in rebellion, but I'm not. And rather than being cooperative, I'm just going to manipulate the situations my own way. It's passive rebellion and passive aggression. But whatever it is, better get it out. Whether it's an in-your-face rebellion, an outright, all-out, everybody knows it, or it's a secret that makes you non-conformative, non-cooperative. Quiet! But you're manipulating. You're scheming. You're planning. Better learn how to deal with that nature. Better learn how to say, I'm Jacob. I got a conniving, manipulative nature. That's who I am. If you want power with God and you want favor with man, you better learn how to wrestle like Jacob. Get a hold of God and say, I can't stay like I am. I can't stay who I am. From this day forward, I want your blessings. I want favor. I'm going to quit running in rebellion and I'm going to submit. This really is my last t-shirt, which means I'm getting close to a close.
Say praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. That's it.
But I'm going to tell you where a lot of it starts for young people is right here. Resentment. It doesn't start always all out rebellion. It starts with mom and dad saying, hey, I'd like for you to do it this way. They didn't see you do that, but I had to send you a message of what resentment would cause you to do inside. I don't like the pastor forbidding us to go to that certain place, involved in that certain activity. It's silent resentment. You resent the fact that Johnny can make everybody laugh. But you couldn't tell a joke if you had to. You resent who you are. You resent your lifestyle. You resent your last name. You resent your teachers. Pushing back, pulling away from people. You don't even know why you pull away, but you start. You're uncomfortable walking up to crowds. Not comfortable being with the other young people. I'm telling you, it's not an evil resentment all the time. It's a part. But I want to tell you, we got to learn how to deal with these things, because we're not going to be able to be everything God wants us to be. I'm going to tell you, inferiorities and insecurities does more harm to the work of God from people that are not healed of them. They're saved, but they're not fully recovered. It makes us dangerous people. Hurt people, hurt people. We need to be healed. We need to be healed. We got to do hard work. You see, navigating early enough, it's not just learning how to say no. It's not just about learning how to not do wrong. We've got to learn how to do right. It's the balance. We've got to avoid sin, but we've got to do righteousness. But you're never going to be able to do righteousness till you take care of the sin issue. That's why you've got to deal with the heart. Remove sorrow from your heart so you can have joy. You got to do more than just get all that junk out of your heart. Get some love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, and faith. You got to get good in there. And can I tell you, one dose of the Holy Ghost to give you all that. Woo! Add to your faith. What? Virtue. And the virtue what? Knowledge. And the knowledge, temperance. And temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. And godliness, brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness, charity. You got to do more than pray things out. You got to pray things in. God, I need some joy. I need knowledge. I need revelation. I need you to teach me how to deal with family. I need you to teach me how to deal with my parents. I need you to teach me how to deal with my friends. I need you to teach me. I want to learn how to navigate. It's more than just learning how to say no. Learning how to
learning how to say yes. You got to learn how to say no to the world, but you got to learn how to say yes to Jesus. You got to learn to resist, but you got to learn how to submit. So it takes more than the blood. It takes a yielding to the Holy Ghost. Say, peace of God, cover me. Peace like a river. Power and presence of God, touch me. Baptize me, Jesus, with the Holy Ghost. I feel joy seeping from my life. I need a renewing. I need a renewing of the Holy Ghost. I need a refreshing. A drink from the well of living water. I'm going to tell you, the Lord wants to be in every one of you a well of living water. Springing up into everlasting life. He wants to make you your own river. Amen. He wants you to be having rivers of living water springing up within you. Hallelujah. Amen. That fountain of life springing up. Springing up. Where you can connect with the people of your world and say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Can I tell you, the Lord wants to make your life not just the envy of angels because you have a second chance in that you can be born again, but He wants to make you the envy of this world. When people look at your life and see that you have lived for God and how He's blessed you and favored you and been good to you and made you the head and not the tail, the lender and not the borrower. He wants to make you the envy of this world. What do you say? Get on track early. Learn how to do hard work. Navigate early. Let God give you wisdom. This is it. I'm closing with this. The elder's a gardener. And you have a beautiful garden. And you have a good garden. But that doesn't mean you never get weeds in your garden. He's a good gardener and has a beautiful garden that produces a lot of fruit that people get to enjoy. Not because you never have weeds. It's because you pull the weeds. And the sooner the better. Don't let them weeds get that nourishment. Don't allow the evil, the unproductive, to sap life. You've only got one life, young person. Don't let the world get it from you, young. Let the passion be God's early. Learn how to pull the weeds. That doesn't mean you're never going to get an attitude. That doesn't mean you're never going to deal with rebellion and anger. You'll see it come up. But pull it early. Learn how to do hard work. Get it out of the garden of your heart. Every day, saints of God, why don't we bring ourselves to the altar of prayer and say, God, I want to walk through the garden of my heart. Because as I go through the day, there's some people that's going to need to taste love and joy and gentleness and goodness and meekness and temperance. And I want to have that fruit in the garden of my life. I don't know where you are today. I don't know the condition. I haven't read the end of the story, and I don't know the end of your story. But I believe there's young people here. There's adults here that says, God, I'm in the flow, and this is where I want to be. And I'm still dealing with my flesh and my humanity, but I'm going to get over it as quick as I can. I'm bringing myself to an altar of prayer. You've let me see things today. I've been washed by the preaching of the Word of God. I've been walking down the rows of my heart. I've been searching my heart. I've been examining my spirit. And I'm ready for a season of prayer. Anybody want to seek the Lord today? Anybody ready to pray? Anybody ready to peel some stuff off of your life? Anybody ready? Don't wait another day. Don't wait another second. Woo! Come on, peel it off. Peel it out. Dig it up. Get it out. Let's get on track.
that's it. Learn how to do heart work. Learn how to become skilled. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Make me skilled, God. Make me skilled, the gardener. Because just like I got a white shirt on, God will make you clean. I'm telling you, He'll make you clean. He'll make you clean. He'll make you clean.